Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back into The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. We appreciate you guys making us a part of your day. So we are taking trips around the National Football League and taking various stops at these places in which the Chiefs drafted players. We have already been to Ohio State. We have been to Tennessee. Let's head to Louisville right now to be joined by Mark Blankenbaker with 93.9 The Ville, talking about Ashton Gelati, a defensive lineman who was drafted by the Kansas City Chiefs with the 66th overall pick. Mark, happy to have you join us today.
Hey, man. Yo, thanks for having me. I think you guys got a great player in Ashton.
Absolutely. So let's talk a little bit more about this. You mentioned that he is a great player. What do you like about him?
Well, he's just a high-energy guy. He can play a lot of downs for the Chiefs and in the NFL. As a rookie, we'll see how he does in year one. But for Louisville, he was a guy that never came off the field, run, pass, whatever. And unfortunately, like I think last year, he was the focus of like basically the every single offense. So he got double-teamed a ton. He really needed like somebody on the other side of him. And I can't tell you like how many times he got flags, you know, like how many times he drew a hold or whatever and how many times they ran away from him. And he really should have had a better senior year, but he just was the focus of every single offense, every single time he went out on the field.
Do you think he's better against the run or the pass?
I think he's a better pass rusher for sure. And, you know, it's kind of funny because, you know, here's a guy that, when he came into Louisville as a freshman, you know, he was way off everybody's radar. You know, you're talking about a guy that wasn't even in the top 1,000, you know, in high school, you know, let alone not the top 300. And the coaches, as soon as he gets on campus, are like, let's get 20 pounds on this guy, and he's going to be basically unstoppable. And he really was. And he saw it a lot coming out as in his sophomore and junior seasons. And he could really, really get to the quarterback. I think he's one of those guys that you throw him on there on the other side of George, and, you know, there's going to be a lot of disrupted, passing downs there in Kansas City.
That's what I was just going to ask you. Do you think he has an opportunity to be a day one contributor? Because I would say that the Chiefs don't necessarily have that position filled. They got a lot of position filled. But that pass rusher opposite of George Karlaftis, Charles Aminihu could be thrown into that mix. They drafted a first-round player a couple years ago, but he hasn't consistently gotten on the field. If Ashton Gelati, if he is the best out of these three, he certainly has an opportunity to go earn that spot.
I think so. Yeah, I think he's one of those guys that if you ask him to just, as a rookie, hey, let's get really good at this and let's be an impact player for the Kansas City Chiefs rushing the passer, I think he can do that. You know, I think he can absolutely do that. I think the biggest hill to climb for him going to the NFL is like, hey, we're going to run to your side. Can you hold the edge? You know, I think that that's probably something that he'd have to prove to me. But in terms of rushing the passer, I have no doubt that he can go up there and do that job and like kind of take some of that pressure off George for sure.
If Ashton works out as an NFL prospect, it will be because of what? What could keep him in the league and give him a really solid, strong career?
Well, I mean, he's athletic, and you'll see that straight away. But really, it's his character. It's his high motor. You're not going to be able to just kind of pull him off the field. I mean, he's not going to get discouraged. Like, if you start him out and, you know, there's the first 5-6 weeks, you're seeing him in minicamp, you're like, man, I don't know. Just hold on, because this is a guy that's not going to quit. Like, he is a high motor, high energy, high character guy. Like, he is very athletic, but he also just doesn't get discouraged. I mean, there's a lot of times where he's getting held, and you see his stats, you know, as a senior year, he's way down. What, he finished with like 4.5 sacks the senior year? He should have had like 12, 15, but he didn't get discouraged. He just kept going out there and playing. And as, you know, the year went on, he was more and more effective because he just didn't get discouraged. He's a physical player at the point of attack, and you'll see all that, but he's one of those dudes that just shows up every single day for his team.
It sounds to me like he has a high motor, which is one of those things you always want your defensive lineman to have, a high motor.
Yes, no, high motor for sure. And, you know, he just keeps coming. You know, like, you might stop him here, you might stop him there, but by the end of the day, by the end of the game, you're going to be like, this guy still's got something left. You know, like, that's really what I think the message was, especially if you got to the fourth quarter in these games in college in the ACC. It really affected the games late because he just had more in the tank than the guy across from him. So, and then really, I mean, and also, you know, you talk about who he is as a person. Like, I can't tell you how many times, like, there was something going on in the facility and it's like, oh, Ashton did that? Like, you know, stuff that he didn't have to do, like, you know, just helping out like an equipment guy, helping out like one of the guys showing up that's doing catering that day. Like, and then also just being a leader and having his teammates just being like, yeah, we're going to do that too. So, you know, as he grows into his role in the NFL, you'll see that leadership quality. But certainly as a rookie, you'll see him. It'll be high energy, high motor. You're not going to discourage Ashton Gelati.
Last thing here. What's one thing that he needs to work on to stick in the NFL? Third-round picks miss all the time in the league. It's a really hard league to stay in. What does he need to improve on?
Yeah, I'm really interested to see when he goes up against those elite tackles and they want to hold the point of attack against the run, can he do that? Can he hold the edge on his side when they decide, hey, we're running to Ashton Gelati's side? I think he did enough of that at the college level, but there were times where it was like, oh, okay, you know, that's an elite tackle, that's an elite running back. You know, he needs to make sure he holds the point of attack where, you know, that necessarily wasn't an elite part of his game. I'd like to see him really kind of show up. He's strong in the lower body, so he can do that, you know, I think enough. But that's probably one of those areas where I think the Chiefs are going to say, we're not necessarily going to put you in that situation early. We're going to make you prove that as you go along as a Chief here in Kansas City.
That is Mark Blankenbaker joining us on the show. He's with 93.9 The Ville, joining us on the show to talk about Ashton Gelati. He was the third-round pick for the Kansas City Chiefs with the 66th overall selection. Mark, great stuff, man. Appreciate your time.
Take care, boys. We'll talk to you soon.
Absolutely. That is Mark Blankenbaker joining us on the show. Really happy to have him join us on the show today. This sounds like your prototypical third-round pick. If you go and you look at his NFL draft analysis page, he was the third most athletic defensive line or edge prospect that went to the combine. So the measurables for him are really, really strong. It sounds like he has a high motor. Sounds like he's a guy that can play all three downs. Certainly makes a lot of sense why a team took a decent asset on him, a third-round pick, and drafted Ashton Gelati.
It all makes sense to me. And as much as I just said that, you know, Zach Reagan said a lot of the things that, you know, alarm you about a player, like injury and a little bit of off the field something and not a starter, not high low production. Hearing it's a high motor guy who did all the right things and is relentless and never seems to stop trying to rush the passer are things you like in a third round pick. Like, let's be honest, you're not getting Von Miller at pick 66, prime Von Miller. But you can get a guy who is relentless, tries to get after the passer, and can be used situationally. That is not a bad deal. He sounds like, and I mean this as a compliment, he sounds like Mike Dana. When Mike Dana came in the league, what, he was a fifth-round pick. The thought was a little undersized, kind of a tweener, but he's relentless, high-motor guy. He has made it work in the NFL. I think Gelati has more physical measurables than Dana did coming out of Michigan, but a lot of those same buzzwords are being used, which doesn't mean he's a star in the league, but he can be a productive NFL player, which right now the Chiefs need that at pass rush.
I mean, if you want to look at last year, their snap counts and who got on the field, George Karlaftis had the most snaps at defensive end. He played 76% of the snaps. Mike Dana played in 45% of the snaps. Felix played in 30% of the snaps. Now, that's just looking at DN, not counting D tackles, not counting interior guys, just guys that primarily play on the outside. And we know that Charles Amenu, who missed a large portion of the season, he played in 20% of the snaps last year for them as a defense. So you would have to assume Amenu, whose numbers are going to go way up this year. Are we going to assume that Felix's numbers go way up this year? Because I'm looking at that other position as it feels like it's a little bit up for grabs, certainly as a Minahu's backup. You bring a Minahu back, he knows the system, he's a veteran, he is going to be their starting end opposite of George Karlaftis. But who his backup is going to be and who's next up in the rotation, I don't think that that job is filled. Mike Dana is going to be on the field for this team. Felix is going to factor into the rotation. Would have to also assume third-round pick, a guy that sounds like he has a high motor, a guy that sounds like he is ready to step in and help a team in the NFL. If you're looking at position battles and there's not a lot for this team, who's going to be in that pass rush rotation? Who's going to get on the field? That is one of the few battles that we will see in camp.
And it sounds, I mean, what's exciting to me as a Chiefs fan is, it sounds like this guy can slide in as a backup for a Minahu and potentially be, you found a third round guy to replace him in 2026. Like we talk about in the draft, how many starters they got. This could be a guy that's a starter in 2026. Like I don't know if he's a starter in 2025, but you let him go from situational pass rusher to every down player. That could be the move for him considering there's not much space. I also don't know for sure FAU snap counts going up. I'm not as sold on that being a foregone conclusion as a lot of other people because he hasn't shown that he's earned those snaps.
Someone on the text line says you might not be able to find Von Miller in the third round, but you can find Justin Houston. Justin Houston is very interesting because I don't know if Justin Houston drops in the draft anymore. If you remember, a major reason why Justin Houston dropped in the draft was he failed a drug test at the combine. That's just not really a thing anymore. You remember back when Justin Houston was entering the NFL, that was like the scarlet letter. Like, that was like the number one thing on SportsCenter. How in the world could you be stupid enough to smoke marijuana leading into the NFL combine? We don't even talk about it anymore when it comes to the league. So, Justin Houston, you're right. There were a time that you could find those players or Randy Gregory, who we thought was going to be a first round pick, would drop in the draft because of marijuana. That's just not really a thing of why people ding you for why you move down. You could definitely have other character concerns. It doesn't sound like that's the question with Ashton Gelati. But I'm not sure if you find Justin Houston anymore because if you're telling me the worst thing that your pass rusher does is smoke weed, that guy goes eighth overall in the draft given the kind of prospect that he was coming out of Georgia. Coming up on the other side, we'll talk about NIL and how it's changing college basketball. We'll also talk about, Rob, there is a new popular sit-down chain restaurant in America. We'll talk about that and we'll also continue our journey around the National Football League. We got a lot to get into. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive. With Carrington Harrison on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants. It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
All right, this is what we're going to do. We're going to talk about college basketball and how NIL has changed the sport. I want to share with you guys some changes in how we eat, and then we'll continue our journey around the NFL draft. That sounds like a really good usage of our time. Did you guys know that in 2015, we saw almost 300 players declare early for the NBA draft? In 2021, there were 363 players that left college early to jump to the NBA. Now, in the NIL era, did you know that only 106 players entered the NBA draft? This is a great situation for college basketball. College basketball was fighting a couple of different fights, and there were a lot of players that were on the fringe. Let's take JT Toppin, for example, who was going to be the best player in the Big 12 this year on Texas Tech. In the old system, there's no scenario in which he comes back to school. That player is entering the NBA draft. There ain't no money in college. But now, there is a lot of money in college, and he is going to be paid like an NBA player and still have the ability to stay in college. This has benefited men's college basketball more than any other sport that we watch and follow in college because of this. Because of players who are fringe NBA guys, they now don't have to run to chase the money in the league or go overseas to make good money. You can make good money playing at Kansas. You can make good money playing at Texas Tech. You can make good money playing at BYU. You don't need to join Overtime Elite. You don't need to join the G League anymore. You can go to college. And ultimately, that's what I want college to be. I want college basketball to be the best place for American-born players to develop their game before they go to the NBA. That's how it used to be in 1995. There was one avenue. If you wanted to be an NBA player, you were a great high school player. You got offered a scholarship. You then went to college. You had a great career. You then went to the NBA. Now there are so many different avenues. You're never going to get every good amateur player because every good amateur player is either not from America or not coming over here to play in American college basketball. You are never going to get Victor Wembanyama to go to Kentucky or Luka Doncic. You don't have to get all of them. But what you can get is every great American prospect to go to college, and you can keep some of the older players that used to go to the league. This is a win. College basketball is not perfect, but we have fixed one of the two major problems. Now, we got to work on that transfer portal thing. Now, you guys know my stance. I'm all for players having the ability to transfer and move around. I'm sorry. You shouldn't be able to go to five schools in 6 years and keep playing college basketball. That's not how the rules should be. If we could tighten this thing up just a little bit, we can get college basketball back to its glory years. It's not going to be how it was in 1992. It doesn't need to be. It can be a sport with continuity and with players that you know and players that you've heard of. And that is exactly what I want to have it happen. That's it. So, yes, you are not going to keep every high school player. You're not going to keep every college player. You are never going to keep Cooper Flagg, for example. Cooper Flagg, you couldn't pay him enough to go back to Duke. But you know who you could keep? You could keep JT Toppin this year. And that's it. That's all you wanted to do. You never had a chance of keeping that kid. Now you do. And that's all I think NIL needs to be. Thank you, college basketball. We have figured this out. We have figured out a way to compensate the players and keep some of them in school. You will not keep 100% of them. There were still 106 kids that left college early to go to the NBA. You were not keeping Ace Bailey at Rutgers. We knew that going into it. Darren Peterson, he is not staying at Kansas past the 1 year. He's going to play the 1 year. Hopefully you win a championship with him, and then he is going to the next level. You could keep that Bryson Tiller kid, though. And that's all you wanted to do. Good. Great. Let's move on.
I have one real quick question for you. And it's a billion-dollar question and probably one you can't answer. But I'm going to ask it anyway because that's the nature of the beast. If they tighten up the transfer portal problems, let's say they make them employees. We'll just use your solution, for example. Do you think with this and a tightening of the portal, you will see college basketball return to its popularity that we once saw when me and you were kids? Or is that toothpaste out of the tube and people are just going to be – it's a niche sport forever? Because if people are staying longer because they're paid and they're at one school longer because we tighten up the portal, that feels a lot like the way college basketball was in 2002. And everyone tells me college basketball in 2002 was this great product that we all loved watching. Are we going to all love watching it, or are we still going to have people say, nah, and they're not coming back because there's no undoing what's been done?
Well, I think that there, I don't think it'll ever be like how it was in 2002, but I will say, I think a lot of that is due to the way that we view and consume sports is very different, and the way that we view television is different. We didn't have Netflix in 2002. We didn't have TikTok in 2002. So there are just more things pulling away at entertainment than there were before. I also think the NFL is bigger in 2025 than it was in 2002. So I don't care how much you have going on. You are not convincing America on a Thursday night to watch your college basketball game over the National Football League. You are not convincing in November people to watch college football over your really big regular season college basketball game. I just think that football has gotten so big, it is on TV every single night. It engulfs everything. I don't think we'll ever appreciate the regular season, the early part of college basketball. But can we get January and February when football is over and we transition and now it is college basketball time? Yeah, I actually do think we can get some of that back. I think this was a really fun year in college basketball with a lot of good players, a lot of good storylines, a lot of really good teams. We just need to continue to build on that momentum in the sport. That's what I wanted to continue to do. Let me share this with you because I think you will find this interesting. Did you know that for every year since 2018, Olive Garden has been the most popular sit-down chain restaurant in America? Did you know that that is no longer the case? Did you know that the most popular sit-down restaurant now in America is Texas Roadhouse? Olive Garden is now 2, and Chili's has now moved up to number 3. Chili's had a 15% increase in its revenue over the last year. Texas Roadhouse has had a 14.7% increase over the last year or so. Let me ask you this, because you love Texas Roadhouse. I'm much more of a Longhorn individual myself. Longhorn actually came in number 6, had a 7% increase. Why do you think we are seeing that Texas Roadhouse has taken such a big jump, and why America loves Texas Roadhouse?
Well, I think there's two reasons. One, and we vilified the TikTok era earlier on the show, and we should have. What they did to Shedeur Sanders is sick. But you know what people are doing on TikTok? You know what a trend is? Go into Texas Roadhouse because you can get a lot of food for not a lot of price. And you know what's going on in 2025? Price is going up. And that hasn't really been the case at the old Roadhouse. You can get a nice steak, a quality steak. It's not 801 Chop House steak, but it's a fine steak, and you can get it for a reasonable price. So you know what? People are going back, and there's this TikTok fad of people going there and realizing, yo, this is affordable, and that's bringing kids in, or I call them kids, 20-somethings in droves. That same thing is happening to Chili's. You're on TikTok. You've probably seen TikTok kids eating that giant Nashville hot mozzarella stick at Chili's. The TikTok era saved Chili's and saved Texas Roadhouse. So I vilify them for Shador, as we should, but they saved two staples of the family restaurant industry.
I would say that there are three boxes that Texas Roadhouse checks off. It has good prices. That's why I like Longhorn Steakhouse. You're telling me I can get a 12, 16-ounce ribeye and two sides for less than $30? Sign me up for that. I think the food is good. It's not great. You're not getting an A1 steak, but you also got to know you ain't getting an A1 steak. It's $30. You got to know you ain't getting an A1 steak. Is it good? And I think you are always going to win because families need places to eat. When you and I were kids, it was a big deal to go to a Red Lobster or an Olive Garden. That's how you learned a lot of social norms, how to order, how to sit, how to use a fork, how to use a knife, how to conduct yourself. You're always going to take your family out to eat. There are some places that now, due to the economy, you can't really take your family out to eat. You're not spending $27 an entree. Then you maybe want to get a drink. Now your kid wants to get something. You want to get a dessert. And now at the end of it, you and your family have spent $300 for you to eat. That's not a sustainable model. You know what Texas Roadhouse has done? Yeah, come on in here. We got you. Why don't you bring little Timmy in, give him some chicken strips, $12. Hey, you want a steak? We're not going to give you the best steak, but we'll get you a nice steak for $18. Your lady want to get something? We'll get her a nice steak for $18. We'll get you a drink for $7, $8 or so. And we can get your whole family out of here for less than $100. Sign me up for that. That's how Chili's started winning. I'm with you. Chili's got really popular on social media. The kids started eating at Chili's. And then you started thinking, hey, these prices, they're not that bad. The food's all right. It's not the best food in the world. But you got good food at a decent price. And it's also family and kid friendly. That's a really good place to take your people. And those places are growing astronomically. Look at the numbers. Growing.
I mean, I think now what society has learned is there's riches in niches. And you know what? Chili's and Texas Roadhouse and a little bit of Olive Garden, and they all fit this one bill. They're family friendly, they're affordable, and the food is fine. You will always pick a Garozzo's over Olive Garden, 100 times out of 100. But if you're at Garozzo's, you don't want your kid running around, so you're choosing Olive Garden. Now Garozzo's becomes your date night or, you know, like a late night, you know, meal after doing something down. There's still a market for that. But you know what? If you're a young family or you got a kid who just had baseball practice and you want to get a nice lunch, you don't want to go to Burger King, Chili's and Texas Roadhouse fill that void perfect. You know what? I think a lot of the other chain restaurants are trying to be something they're not. Red Lobster, you're not fine dining. Be the seafood version of a family restaurant.
Yeah. You know, I mean, those places, I'm telling you, if it was grandma's 70th birthday, hey, we was going to Red Lobster. You got to be one of those kind of places. That's where people are taking their family. Last thing here, and I think this is really, really important. We're all part of the same economic system. There's very few places right now where you feel like you were getting a deal. You don't get a deal really anywhere. Rob, that's one of the places why I think people our age really love Chipotle. Yes, Chipotle is not what it was in 2015. The food quality has gone down. They be acting real stingy with the portions. Man, I can still get full for $10. And there aren't many places that I think can really rival the options that I get and the price at Chipotle. Sign me up. I'm loyal to Chipotle. I'm going to the end with Chipotle for that reason. For $10, I can get full and get a meal that I like very quickly. Sign me up. There ain't a whole lot of places you feel like you're getting a deal. Texas Roadhouse, Longhorns, Chili's, and make you kind of feel like you're getting a deal. And that just feels good today. You ain't getting a deal at the grocery store, not on anything. You're not getting a deal at a majority of these restaurants that we go to, but it feels like you get a deal When you walk in, oh, Texas Roadhouse, old Longhorn Steakhouse, Chili's with the baby back ribs. Hey, you know what? Hey, you know what? I ain't got nothing wrong with Chili's, man. Shout out to Chili's, man. That's who sponsored this segment. They didn't really sponsor this segment, but they sponsored it. Shout out to Logan's Roadhouse, who is now the most popular sit-down chain restaurant in America, and also Chili's that has moved up to number 3. They had a 15% increase in revenue last year. So Chili's, very, very popular with the people. All right, let's get back to talking football. Let's get back to the Kansas City Chiefs. Let's head right now to California, and we'll be joined by Roxy Bernstein, who covered Noel Williams, the third-round corner that they got from the University of Cal. Roxy, really happy to have you on. What kind of player are the Chiefs getting with Noel Williams?
He was a terrific shutdown corner. And when he transferred from UNLV to Cal, I talked to, at the time, defensive coordinator Peter Sermon at Cal and head coach Justin Wilcox about him. And they had a lot of talent that they were bringing into the secondary. It's also a strong unit, which was shown in the NFL draft this year. But Noel Williams was a guy they kept talking about. And his ability to break on the ball, to make plays. And you saw it this last year with leading the country in interceptions. He had 7 picks. Just a phenomenal year. And that's why he went as high in the draft as he did. And I think at some point, I don't know if it'll be this year, but he will be a starter in the secondary for the Chiefs.
That's what I like most about this selection is he seems to have great ability on the football. I know last year kind of stands out with the 7 interceptions, but, I mean, his last year at UNLV, he had 3 interceptions. He had 2 interceptions in Cal 2 seasons ago, and then to jump up to 7. He seems to have a great nose for the football.
He does, and he's a smart football player. He studies. He watches film, so he gets the movement of the receivers and reads what the quarterback and the tendencies try to be. And I think that's where he's added to his game, is his ability to also do the work off the field. He is an exceptionally hard worker. But off the field, to put in the film work, to put in the video work, to see exactly where he can improve as a player, but also to learn tendencies of his opponents. And you know, he had a pick 6, for example, in that much-anticipated game against Miami back early in the season for Cal. But to have 7 interceptions in a college football season, it's pretty remarkable considering that's essentially 1 every 2 games. And that's how strong he was in the secondary for what was a strong unit that Cal had on the back end. But to me, he was the featured guy with his playmaking ability.
Reading his NFL draft page, it says that he was inconsistent in run support. How is his tackling ability? Is he a guy that you think can improve in that ability in helping against the run?
I think it's adequate, to be honest with you. Is he ever going to be a great defender against the run? Probably not. But, you know, when you're drafting Noel Williams and you're going to be paying him to shut down receivers and to be a cover corner, because that's what he is. He's got the size. He's 6 feet, 6'1", right around 200 pounds. He was okay in run support. It's not his strength, but I think he can get better at it. But his ability is he was drafted by the Chiefs not necessarily to help stop the run. He was drafted by the Chiefs because of his playmaking ability in the secondary and his ability to stay with and shut down receivers.
You mentioned that he has a chance to turn into be a starter for this team. Do you think he's somebody that can fit well on the outside, or do you think he's that perfect kind of inside slot corner?
I think he's an outside corner. That's where I think his specialty is, and that's where he played in college at Cal. Now, he did play a little bit of safety early in his career as well, but he was more of a corner and a guy that understood if you leave him out there on the island, he'll make a play, and he's very rarely going to get beat. And could he go inside and be a slot corner? Yeah, but I don't think that's his strength. I think his future is on the outside and trying to be a shutdown corner out there.
Two other things that I've noticed looking at his scouting report, his athleticism score was below average. He scored a 67. He was 21st ranked among corners who went to the combine. How do you think that athleticism is going to translate to the next level?
I think that it's okay. And we all know it's a huge jump, right, with the speed, the physicality of the NFL game as opposed to the college game. But I think he makes up for it in other ways because of his ability to use his smarts, to understand what the offenses are trying to do. And with his scouting work, that's the way he's able to overcome, I think, some of those deficiencies in terms of where people value his athleticism. But I still think he's pretty athletic. It's not like he's a guy out there running a 5.5 40. That's not necessarily his, but I don't think it's anything that people should be concerned with in terms of his athleticism.
Another thing here, reading on one of his weaknesses, it says that he had a high number of holding penalties and pass interference penalties. How concerning was that in college?
A little bit, but you know what? It's also a sign he didn't get beat, right? He was going to make sure he didn't get beat downfield. So he may have grabbed a guy, but I think it also played into the over-aggressiveness that his defense played with this past year. And he was a playmaker. He knew he had to step up and make plays defensively, and he was determined not to get beat. And he was going to battle. And look, we see it. Corners, they get penalties, especially when they're out there in one-on-one coverage, which he was a lot. They didn't give him help. And he was making sure he just wasn't going to get beat deep.
That is Roxy Bernstein, who covered Noel Williams at Cal, who was the third-round pick for the Kansas City Chiefs at pick 85. Roxy, great stuff, my man. Appreciate your time today.
My pleasure.
You know what? I like this pick of Noel Williams. He had 7 interceptions last year in a major conference. The holding and the pass interference stuff, that doesn't bother me that much. I mean, I understand it's frustrating from a corner, but that's what coaching is. That's what coaching is. You take a swing on a mid-round player. He sounds like a guy that fits what they like to do. Now, he's not a guy, at least what it sounds like, and if you look at his history, he doesn't seem like a guy that's really going to help them in run support or kind of blitz off the edge. He's not going to be L'Jarius Sneed. He doesn't sound like that kind of prospect, but I think they have 2 corners that are pretty much entrenched. I would say 3 with Jalen Watson. I think Watson has turned into a very good player for this team. But you're looking for that kind of 4th option. You now throw him into the mix and see what happens. They've got some very interesting kind of depth position battles. There aren't many starting spots that are open for Kansas City. There's not really going to be for a team that won 17 games last year. Like, this is not the place to come in and be a day one starter and a contributor for. But depth is always going to be needed. And we all know the players that you start the season with are not necessarily the ones that you are going to end the season with. So creating that depth, building your roster out, is usually the smart thing to do. I really like the selection of Noel Williams. He was a corner that was picked out of Cal. We'll get back to this coming up at the top of the hour when we'll head to Oregon to talk about the linebacker that they picked up this weekend. Coming up on the other side, a childhood memory was unlocked for me this weekend. I'll tell you what it is. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. Since the dawn of Major League Baseball, every player has honed their unique skills.
Otani connects and it's gone.
Skeen strikes out the side.
Bobby Witt Jr. throws in time.
Harper does it again.
Witness the hills of the game in ballparks nationwide. Get your tickets today at MLB.com/tickets. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
All right, a couple of things. Number one, the Chiefs picked up the 5th-year option on Trent McDuffie and George Karlaftis. There is no story here. They were always going to do this. This has no bearing on if they're going to sign them long term. I understand we have to update you and give you the news, but we all knew this was going to happen. This was a foregone conclusion. I am still on the side of I would pay Trent McDuffie this offseason. I think that's the best thing that they can do. Now, I would wait on George Karlaftis. And if I'm George, I also don't want to sign a long-term deal. Yes, you want to try to get to the money, but you haven't had a monster year. What does a contract extension look like for George Karloftis this offseason. He's had one season in which he's had double-digit sacks. He's not a Pro Bowl, all-pro caliber kind of player. So, I mean, he'll get paid, don't get me wrong, but he's not breaking the bank if he tries to negotiate a deal. If I'm him, this upcoming season, I'm trying to put up the best year of my life. I'm trying to finish top 10 in sacks this year. A healthy Charles Omenihu, if this defensive line rounds into shape and George Karloftis goes out there and has 12 and a half, 13 sacks, now I want to renegotiate my deal and I want to get paid. And that contract is probably somewhere between $90 and $110 million. I wouldn't feel comfortable giving George Karloftis that contract right now. I don't think he's been a $90 million player. He's been good, don't get me wrong. But we're talking about you cashing out at the absolute highest of your earning potential, and I don't think that's what happened last year if you were him. So Trent McDuffie, two-time All-Pro, first 3 years of his career, he is in a different boat than George Karloftis. You have had 1 year in which you've had double-digit sacks. You've never made the Pro Bowl. You are not a big disruptive player yet in your career. So I'm willing to pay Trent McDuffie right now. I would continue to play this thing out with George Karloftis, and I wouldn't be opposed to playing this out all 5 years of his rookie deal. Based on how he's played so far, you are not in a rush, I think, to pay George Karloftis. So that is number one. The number two thing is, sometimes the best part about social media is it unlocks things that you forgot even existed. Now, if I had to be real with you guys about my two favorite teams of all time, number one would be the 2003 Royals. Now, I know they have had better years. They won the World Series. They went to another World Series. I went to both of those World Series. There's something magical about the 03 Royals. I know that you under the age of 40, I know somebody out there feels me. I know you remember Mike McDougal and Ken Harvey and Jose Lima. They just were fun. They weren't the best team in the world, but there was just something lovable about the 2003 Royals. And my second favorite team, Rob, would be the 2007 Missouri Tigers that smoked your Kansas Jayhawks at Arrowhead. I know you remember it. That's the team that made me fall in love with college football. Chase Daniel, Martin Rucker, Chase Kaufman smoked the Jayhawks at Arrowhead. I know that a young Rob Brinton was heartbroken by this development. Heartbroken. He had to go back to school that next day with defeat all over his brow. Those are my two favorite teams. Now, if there's been other teams, I mean, I've seen the Chiefs win the Super Bowl. Other teams I've really, really enjoyed. Not like those two, though. I forgot that this existed. In fact, social media reminded me. You know how the Royals used to do those goofy commercials? Gotta love these guys. You know those goofy promo commercials to get you to buy tickets? Someone uploaded the 2003 Royals rap. Rob, had you ever heard this before? Do you remember this? I don't remember the 2003 Royals having a rap commercial to get you to go buy tickets. Well, I found it, and we're going to play it for you. Listen to this.
KC Royals is about to explode. From the zoom to the boom, the hot box break out the broom. You'll be leaving, coming back soon. Give the other team a break? Nope. You know how the game go. What you think they swing from? The go against the grain? Nope. So lock and load and grab your seat and don't be hugging it. Stand up and cheer because you're gonna be loving it. So come and get your ticket to secure your seat. It's a fact. They're better and they're back.
I might have to move the 03 Royals down my list. I don't know if I can love them the same after hearing this again. They were putting this on TV. This was on 38 The Spot. They were running this promo on the radio to get you to order tickets for the 2003 Royals. I'm starting to understand why they didn't make the playoffs. I'm starting to understand why the 03 Royals broke our heart even though they were up three games at the All-Star break. I'm starting to realize why they faded down the stretch. What was that? Can we give the Royals of 2025, can we give them a rap song? Do you think the Royals would pick it up as their slogan? Can we create a Fountains Up rap for the Royals this year? I mean, it'll be a hit. I mean, they don't get a lot of hits, so we can make our own hit. I've completely forgot about this. Text line, did you guys remember this? 913-586-7798. 7965. Did you guys remember the 2003 Royals rap commercial to get you to go buy tickets? I completely forgot about this.
Whoever that rapper was makes Shador Sanders look like J. Cole. That was bad. Did he rhyme at one point? I know I'm not the rap aficionado on the show, but that was terrible. I loved the 03 Royals. I'm starting to think I might love the 03 Royals because I was 12.
I love the 03 Royals because they were just a fun team.
They were the biggest surprise, I think, of, I mean,
ever.
Our life. It wasn't like in spring training of 03, people on the radio and people on television were like, hey, watch out for this team.
No,
it was
not at all.
Here comes more of the same.
It came out of nowhere.
It was so fun.
That's why I love them. It came out of nowhere. You remember, they won their first 9 games of the year. I was at that. For those of you that remember this, they had that big Buck Night game. It started to rain, and then Ken Harvey hit a walk-off home run. Amazing time.
It was a mammoth shot, too. He put that deep into the Kansas City Night.
I'm telling you, that team will always be in my heart. Always. It'll always be in my heart.
But, I mean, that rap was awful.
I mean, it wasn't good. I'm not here to tell you that it was good. It was not strong.
You know what that was like? The 03 Royals staff. Their pitching was bad.
It was bad.
It was, what was it, Lima and May, and then we pray?
Yeah, Lima and May, and the other days we pray. Shout out to Mike McDougal, though, man. He used to come out to rock you like a hurricane. He had serious control issues, though. No clue where that ball was going to go. None. But you know what? He had great heart, grit.
Effectively wild.
That's what he was. Whatever happened to Mike McDougal? Can we get him on the show?
I think the effectiveness disappeared, and it was just wild.
No, that was quick. The Royals that year had a lot of one-hit wonders. Angel Barroa was a one-hit wonder. And Mike McDougal was also a one-hit wonder. But, man, it was great. When it was going, it was great. It was really great. I'm happy that we took that trip down memory lane. We'll get back to football and the draft, but a 03 Royals rap commercial that just was uncovered by Instagram, you know what? I'm happy. I'm thrilled. Can we get that guy to make a rap for today, though? Can we find this gentleman? I believe his name is Woody. Can we get Woody to make a rap? I mean, this was sanctioned by the Royals. I got to show you guys the video. He's like on the field. This was not like a fan that just did this. This was like the official Royals come buy tickets. This was part of their slogan. That had to be the ad they played on like 103, though. They wasn't playing that on 810 during crunch time back in the day. No chance that ad was on.
You don't think that was in between Rocket and Teresa in the morning?
No chance. Absolutely no chance. Someone said, what about Jimmy Gobble? Love Jimmy Gobble.
Jimmy Gobble and Jeremy Offelt were guys I really thought were going to be a thing.
100%. You were with Jeremy Offelt, you were just thinking that he had to really solve that blister problem. You remember, he always had a blister.
12-year-old Rob thought blisters were an epidemic in this city because he never stopped having that problem.
He always had a blister. No, 100%. Just had a problem. All right, coming up on the other side, we'll get back to the NFL draft. We are taking a stop at every single place where the Chiefs drafted a player. Our next stop is Portland, Oregon. We'll go there next. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.